Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The first installment of Stephen Rieger's Stormstrong trilogy is a sweeping historical fantasy set in Central Europe in 1618 at the beginning of the Thirty Years' War. As the Christian world stands once again at a knife's edge, the once great Holy Roman Empire, like most of the rest of Europe, is divided along religious, political, and economic lines, pitting Catholics against Protestants, princes against monarchs, and the rich against the poor. And a war unlike anything Europe has ever seen is growing increasingly inevitable. Designed to be caught up in the coming conflict are two very beautiful but very different women. These two strangers share a strong faith in the same God, but their respective attempts to find peace in a world dominated by violent and powerful men will lead them straight into the abyss of a war that will tear Europe apart for the next 30 years. After having taught American world and European history for 30 years, Stephen is spending his retirement writing about what the history textbooks leave out. Stormfront is his debut novel. Stephen currently teaches American literature in Cincinnati, Ohio, where he resides with his wife and his two sons. And Stephen Rieger, author of Stormfront, Book 1 of the Stormstrong Trilogy, is our guest on This Week in America. Stephen, welcome to program. What a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. The pleasure's mine.
I love the story that you tell here, but I want to go into a little bit of background, a fascinating background, steeped in history, teaching it for a number of years. Why did you switch from teaching history at a public school to now, I mentioned, teaching American literature at a private school there? Why did you make that switch?
It was a switch that I made reluctantly. I joke with my wife, it was sort of a Tom Brady situation. I had only been retired for a couple of months, and the school district at which my two sons attend, they were desperate to find a number of teachers to fill in a couple of holes. They first approached me about being a full-time math teacher, and an icy cold shudder of doom ran through my body there, and I said, no, thank you. And then they came back and said, we also need a English teacher, an American literature teacher, and you'd be teaching things like The Scarlet Letter and Great Gatsby and To Kill a Mockingbird. And I thought, well, that sounds fantastic. That hardly seems like work. And I agreed to do it. And it's such a difference going from full-time teaching to only having this one class that I have to prepare for. And unfortunately, my current students are victims of that. They even said recently, they said, you seem to have a lot more energy and enthusiasm than most of our other teachers. And I said, well, yeah, I only have one class to prepare for. So that's how it came about.
It makes all the difference in the world. And Tom Brady, when he decided to unretire, left $37 million a year on the table with Fox. I'm not going to ask how much you left behind, but I'm sure it was
Just a little bit less than that. Some was slightly less than that.
Under Tom. So Stephen is back.
My Giselle Bundchen, my beautiful wife Amy, was fully supportive of my decision.
And it sounds like it agrees with you. I love the passion and the enthusiasm. So you've touched on all of the things in your life, teaching history at various levels for your career, now writing, and you've combined those two for this book, Stormfront, Book 1 of the Stormstrong trilogy. With us is Stephen Rieger. That's R-E-G-E-R. If you're Googling, we'll give you all that and his website as we go through the program. What do you want your children or students to be able to read this book? This book is so well done. Takes a piece of history that we've touched upon, at least when I was decades ago in history class, touched on. Was this something that you'd like to have your kids and the students read? Does this almost be a textbook for them?
Yes and no. There are elements of it that I would love to have my own children or my current students read eventually, because not only am I teaching history, fundamentally, at the end of the day, the reason I'm writing these books is they are a vehicle for me to introduce scripture to people who might not otherwise ever come across it. And the 30 Years' War, which is a war of religion,
yes,
by definition, is such a great vehicle for teaching scripture. And my wife has helped me with that. She is a pastor, and we work through some of these passages and whatnot. However, I've also tried to make elements of it as historically accurate as possible. And the 17th century was a violent, bloody, horrific time. And my boys know that they are not allowed to read my books until they are much older. And I'm not sure I would even advise my current students who are juniors in high school to read it if they're even the tiniest bit squeamish. So it is certainly aimed at an older audience.
Let's talk about what is something new for you, and that's being an author, being able to write this. You know the history, but you need to present it in a more entertaining way. Not that there's anything right. entertaining about this, but we'll hold the attention as an interesting way with a story that flows. Working in, as you mentioned, the scripture, and the background is in history. How challenging was that? Where did you learn to write it? Any particular challenges in keeping the book so it moved and it was an interesting story that you're telling? Not a textbook, but a historical fantasy.
Right. Where I learned to write was, and I don't know if they'll ever hear this, but I would hope they would, was my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Modolo, and my ninth grade teacher, Mr. Bohart. They were two of the toughest teachers that I've ever had, and I love them both. And they were fanatically passionate about good writing, and they trained me. It was sort of like going through writing boot camp or Navy SEAL training. That's where I learned how to write. In terms of how to try to make it more entertaining, what I've done is I've deviated from historical fiction and added an element of what I call historical fantasy to it. So I've tried to bring just an element of Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones, yes. some kind of fantasy elements, and weave them into this actual story in a way that makes sense so that someone would not look at it as, well, you know, this is just yet another textbook on yet another war from yet another century, but that the element of the fantasy and the characters, which I'm very proud of, would, I hope, make it more palatable than simply reading a history textbook.
And you do a remarkable job of bringing it to life. You can actually see what's going on. You're there for part of history. You're sort of like on the outside looking in. The book is right. Stormfront, book one of the Storm Strong trilogy by Stephen Rieger. If you're Googling, Rieger is R-E-E-G-E-R. His website is very simple, stormstrongtrilogy.com. We'll have all that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book, of course, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Why did you choose this particular, basically 30-year block, a little over that in history? Why did you write about this time period? What was it, obviously, as you were teaching it, as you learned about it, has fascinated you? What was it that wanted, that was the basis for writing this, where you wanted to take and expand a little bit and use it to talk about Scripture?
A couple of things. One, first, my family, our name would actually in Germany be pronounced Reger. We're full-blooded Germans. So it appealed to me automatically to write about one of the great wars in German history. Great, not from the standpoint of good, but from the standpoint of epic. So that appealed to me. It also just lent itself to this religious division, which ironically, some of the division in the book, the socioeconomic, the religious, the geographic, it hauntingly reminds one of some of the divisions we're dealing with in our country right now.
Exactly.
There was definitely that element of it as I was kind of working out my own thoughts on that. But primarily the reason I picked the 30 Years War is that was a period of history about which I knew next to nothing until I started teaching myself. It had not ever been taught to me. I had maybe heard of it, but when I actually had to stand in front of a class of students and explain it to them and learned myself that it was really not one war, it was four wars, and in many ways, it was the first world war because it involves the Bohemians and the Austrians and the Germans and the Swedes and the Danes and the French and the Spanish, and it truly was a European-wide war. So that's where the appeal came from. It was just something that was relatively new to me when I started teaching history myself.
Who is the target audience? Who is this book geared for?
That's the million-dollar question. And I've been asked that by many people because, interestingly, I was approached by a couple of Christian publishers who were very excited about the book until they read it. And that, well, wait a minute, the violence and some of that, this is not for our audience. I have also been approached by some publishers who want to make it truly a fantasy epic and kind of get the scripture and the history and the truth out of it. So it's not primarily aimed at a Christian reading audience, nor is it primarily aimed at a high fantasy audience. The way I described it to my wife when I told her I was going to undertake this is I would like it to appeal to fans of history and fans of fantasy who are not already believers. If you're already a believer, there's nothing in this book that is going to threaten your faith or confirm your faith. You're already there. But my hope is that somewhere, someone, maybe one of my former students, some of whom are now in their late 40s, good Lord, will pick it up. And perhaps, I hope for the first time ever, start asking questions. And whether it's they ask those questions of me or of a priest, a rabbi, an imam, whomever, and ultimately me might further their own faith journey. So my target audience, I guess I would say, is non-believers who are looking for an interesting story and might just accidentally get clubbed over the head with scripture while they're at it.
I love that. Literature at its finest, where it gets you to ask questions, and you're doing that in the book. The book is Stormfront, book one of the Storm Song Trilogy by Stephen Rieger, book available. His website is Storm Song Trilogy. I'm having a hard time saying that correctly. It is a mouthful. Storm, pause, songtrilogy.com. We have all this on the website. You have to try to figure out what the host is talking about. It's all in writing. You can click at the links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What message do you want to get across? You just sort of touched upon that with the to get people thinking, which is always a good thing. But what is the takeaway? What is the message you hope you leave with the audience?
I would say primarily two. One of the, both of the main characters are female characters for a reason, by design. But both of them have sort of a signature tagline, almost a, you know, what you would get in a 1980s family sitcom, the line that gets repeated in every episode.
Yes.
And one of them, a Bohemian Protestant named Charlatova, the tagline of the group of thieves in which she runs is, "What happens to one of us happens to all of us." And that's a huge part of what I'm trying to express. Again, coming back to the division that our country sees right now between age groups, racial groups, ethnic groups, religion, what have you, I'm trying to impart the message that what happens to one of us affects all of us. We are all our brother's keepers, or should be. And separate and above that, even more important, I'm trying to impart the message of whatever your difficulties may be during this temporal existence, during this brief time we spend here on Earth, in a sense, they don't matter because we have a heavenly Father who loves us, embraces us as his children, and we will get to spend eternity with him. And that's the main idea. These two female characters, they're struggling with the relationships with their biological fathers. But the term father in the book is very nuanced, and often I'm talking not about their biological fathers, but by God. And that's the primary message. We have a God in heaven who loves us, and we will one day get to spend eternity with him.
Time going by so quickly. We're talking about Stormfront, book one of the Storm Song Trilogy by Stephen Rieger, our guest on the program. I'll give you all the information where the book is available, which is basically everywhere. What was it like, the writing process, compared to teaching? And I ask that because as you're teaching, you can look out and see what the response is. Whoops, I need to go to plan B or C or whatever. I need to alter the course here. Or I've captured everybody's attention. I'm going to get something through to them. Writing, it's you and the computer and maybe your wife when you bounce ideas off of her.
Right.
What is this writing? It's a solitary existence. What has this been like for you?
Completely opposite of what I thought, in the sense of, as you just described, I thought it will be me and a laptop and that's it. And it just hasn't been that way at all. Whenever I have gotten stuck, because I knew where each of the three books would end, but I wasn't always entirely sure how would we get there? What happens to these characters along the way? And routinely I would get stuck. I would go days without writing a word, and my wife would say, how's the writing going? I said, it's not. I don't know what happens next. Anytime I got stuck, I would go to our local library with my copy of the Bible, and I would open the Bible just randomly and read for a few minutes. And if that didn't work, I would just go randomly into the shelves, pick out a book, fiction, nonfiction, didn't matter, open it up, and inevitably there was a spark. There was something that would strike me, and I'm convinced it was God nudging me, that would then tell me what happens next. One time, believe it or not, it was actually a nonfiction book about electricity. And it was all about Edison and Tesla and their competition to be the first to deliver electricity and whatnot. And I ended up reading the entire book in the library that day. I was so enthralled. And at one point, just something that the author said, it just struck me in a certain way. And I thought, now I know what happens to Vanessa next. And, not that that book had anything to do with anything. So the whole process has been literally and figuratively a godsend, because I feel like this is the way that God talks to me. My wife is much better at hearing from God from a more traditional sense of studying scripture and praying. But for me, it's been this writing process, and I have a closer relationship with my own Heavenly Father now than I have ever had at any point in my life.
It's just an amazing story. Stephen Rieger is our guest on the program, R-E-G-E-R. The book is Stormfront. That's book one in his Storm Song Trilogy. Information on his website, stormsongtrilogy.com. This book is very visual as you're reading it. It comes alive on the pages. Do you see this as a movie, an HBO miniseries, a lot of avenues out there now for video content? Do you see this possibly becoming a video of some kind?
That is both my dream and my nightmare. Dream, because I would love to see these characters brought to life. I process very visually myself, and I know precisely what each of these characters looks like and sounds like. They've become very real to me. I would love to see that brought to the big screen. Nightmare from the standpoint of it would have to be done the right way.
Yes.
I would never want to see this movie become, we love this, but we have to take all of this scripture and Jesus out of it. We can't sell that. So I'm definitely open to the possibility, but if Michael Bay and Jerry Bruckheimer came to me tomorrow and said, we have a phenomenal vision of this, we're going to take all of the history and all of the scripture and all of the God content out and make this an over-the-top $300 million production, my answer would be, No, because that's not what I set out to do.
Well, that's interesting. That's not your creative vision. Even if there are a lot of dollars connected with it, that's not what you attempted to do when you sat down to write Storefront, right. the first in the trilogy. Time going by quickly, but I want to ask, you mentioned in the beginning the German background. Any aspect of this book that's autobiographical in any way?
Quite a bit. Those who know me, they'll find I have worked my children into the story. I have worked our current dog, who is a lazy thing. I've worked her into the story. I have worked some of our German background. There are lots and lots of references to German foods, and that is by design. That is essentially me saying, this is how I got to be the size that I am. And there are a lot of little German Easter eggs along the way that are shout outs to different members of my family or just different aspects of growing up in a traditional German culture.
Who are some of your favorite authors? Got a minute or so here. Fascinated to find out who sort of influenced you, your writing style, your love of reading and now writing.
Well, Tom Clancy, John Grisham, David Baldacci, all of the authors that seemingly were able to crank out a book every couple of months.
Yes.
But probably my two all-time favorites are Harper Lee and Mario Puzo. For me, The Godfather and To Kill a Mockingbird. If I could only ever read two books again, over and over and over again, those would be the two.
You've chosen two wisely. There's so much to be said about that. And this is the first in the trilogy. This is book one. So people are going, okay, trilogy, it appears there are going to be three. So we've got two and three that we're waiting for. How are you coming with book two? Are you close to having that ready to go?
I am. Each book by design, there's a specific reason for this. Each book will be exactly 60 chapters. I am currently working on chapter 19 of the second book. So I'm almost a third of the way there.
Any idea with your timeline in teaching again, semi-retirement, any idea when we can expect to see book two?
My hope is that book two will be available sometime this summer. I'm aiming for the 4th of July.
Fantastic. And that would be a good time. I'm thinking you were probably looking at maybe the end of the year, first of next year type of thing. So it's possible in this year we will see book two. But in the meantime, enjoy book one. Stormfront, one of the Storm Song Trilogy books by Stephen Reger, R-E-G-E-R, should you be Googling, and the website stormsongtrilogy.com. Book available, of course, Amazon, all of the usual places, kingpagespress.com, doing marketing for Stephen and getting word out there on the trilogy, and we thank them for setting up our conversation today. Stephen, it's been a pleasure. Time went by way too quickly. An excellent job with Stormfront, historical fiction, historical fantasy. You've got great stories in here, and we'll learn something, a piece of history that you taught it and weren't that familiar with it. So for the rest of us, I'm sure we'll learn something as we read the story as well and get some very important messages. Thank you for being with us on the program. We'll look forward to book two and hopefully talking about it. Our guest on the program, Stephen Reger, R-E-G-E-R. The book is Stormfront, book one of the Storm Song Trilogy. His website is stormsongtrilogy.com, and all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.